It is hour number two. And I remind you that usually the first Friday of every month, we are at Kitchen Oats at the Omni Nashville Hotel, the Bill King Show, our show. But leading into the holiday this week, we've moved it back just for convenience sake for everybody, quite frankly. And then we'll be down there a week from tomorrow and then resume our first Friday visits in August as well. Back with us once again, just a really, if you're not following him on Twitter and reading his stuff in the Tennessean, you're losing out. Sports columnist Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Good morning, Gentry. How you doing, man?
What's up, G? Hey,
good morning. Appreciate the nice introduction.
Thanks. Well, I tell you what, though, if you use improper grammar or you get out of your lane a little bit, we're gonna put a yellow card on you. Right? I mean, we've got this seemingly plenty of yellow cards around here, so just warn you, okay? You might get a yellow card in this interview.
That game last night looked like a blackjack game in Vegas. They were handing out cards, so many damn cards, G.
Yeah, it gets to where a point. You can always tell when you're watching a sporting event when the referee or the umpire or whoever kind of loses control, basically off precedent. You know, when they start calling little things to start, if you start calling too many things right away, you're going to end up calling too many things the whole game, and I think that's what happened last night.
Yeah, an opportunity to host the U.S. Open semifinals and finals with another victory in the semifinal here at Geodis Park, but I don't know of any other sports where right in the middle of your season you have players go off to play international or you're playing another tournament. Now, sure, there are breaks in for the Olympics and hockey and all of that, but I don't know another sport that does anything like this.
Yeah, this is with Major League Soccer, there aren't a lot of similarities with the European leagues, but that U.S. Open Cup is one of them mid-season where you know, in England, you'll have the FA Cup, where everybody gets into the tournament. You know, whatever level of league you're in, and it's a neat tournament. But for a team like Nashville, it's at the top level. You know, they don't really care that much about it until they do, and when they do, they care a lot. And you have to get pretty far into it and start sensing, hey, we might be able to win a trophy. But Nashville had gotten to that point in this tournament. They had, you know, reached the quarterfinals, won a couple of games, and it's a shame that they weren't able to get that game last night because it would have been a lot of fun for them, I think, to possibly have the semis in the finals at Geodis Park.
Oh, that place would have been absolutely rocking. What'd you make of Patico in that last night?
Mistake on the goal. Mm-hmm. I think he, for the most part, I mean, he made a big, big save right toward the end of overtime right before the shootout, but and thought did fairly well in the shootout, but I think you know, he gave them a chance even when they fell behind there, but you know, mistake on the goal. If you have a 1-0 lead going in the last few minutes of the game, you should probably see it out, and they didn't. So it was a tough result for him, tough loss, and honestly a tough call that even set up that free kick in which Orlando scored on.
Here's your Chamber of Commerce question, okay? Because I covered the Predators expansion, went back 97, 98 for the then Nashville Banner. Now the MLS comes. The momentum that started, it really, the Predators had to build. It was, you know, they had to teach the market. That's what Pete Weber, Terry Crisp, mm-hmm. and their Hockey 101 classes, it was that non-traditional. You know, I would contend that this is a non-traditional professional soccer market as well, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like this team's been around for a while. You know what?
They've really made a mark on the city and the sports landscape here in a short amount of time.
Yeah,
I think the new stadium has helped a lot. I think, and the fact they're good. They've been a good team from the start. There was no, you know, expansion struggles with this team. They were immediately good. They were a playoff team in the first year, and they built in a way that I think allowed for instantaneous success, getting a lot of veterans, a lot of MLS experience in their lineup. And, you know, and a couple key players and Walker Zimmerman and Hany Mukhtar, they've been able to get and now hold on to. So I think this is a team, you know, you got the stadium, you got a good group, good core group that looks like it'll be together for a while. And I think this will continue they'll continue to grow, but it's not easy. I mean, I go on, you know, a lot of shows like with you guys, and I'll be honest, I think you might be the first ones to have asked me about a Nashville SC game. Or at least one that just happened. You know, maybe you get a question, how are they doing? But y'all are the first ones to lead with a Nashville SC game that just happened. So the more and more that happens, then I think you may be right.
Yeah, Gentry asked the sports columnist with the Tennessee. And okay, well, then we'll get to the news of the day, Philip Forsberg. The reports coming out, what, $8.5 million maybe, what he might be happy with? Is it so simple as a no-trade clause? And if that's the case, what's the holdup? I mean, I know that David Poyle does not like giving no-trade clauses, but by the end of this 8-year contract, they're not going to be able to trade him anyway. Who has no trade clauses, right? You know, Ryan Johansson, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't trade him.
I think Yossi has one done, too,
well,
he?
But they could probably trade him. But anyway, it's what's holding it up? And I think it's also on the backdrop. We didn't even touch on the Kevin Fiala trade to L.A. Mm-hmm. You could see an Arvidsson-Fiala-Forsberg line up there. Right. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. We were talking about that last night on Sportsline. Yeah. Get the band back together out in La La Land.
What's the end game there, or do we even have a clue?
Well, I think it's a good question about what's holding it up. I mean, I saw the report earlier this week about, you know, Forsberg asking in the low eights. Maybe so, but that doesn't make sense to me that would be the case, given that clearly something this whole time has kept these sides pretty far apart. And every, you know, which the little bits and pieces that you hear along the way, there's not a lot of common ground, or at least they're having a hard time getting there. And, you know, like if it was as simple as around $8 million, I don't know why you haven't already done it. You know, the Preds right now have a lot of cap space, so I don't think this is a matter of, you know, $500,000 a year. I really don't. I think there's something there. I don't know. Maybe it's a no-trade clause, but I agree with you that the no-trade clause, when you're talking about a deal this expensive in this this many years, the no-trade clause doesn't really matter because, yeah, I mean, if Forsberg gets to the point where you want to trade him, you probably wouldn't be able to anyway, much like Duchesne and Johansson. So I think... Mm-hmm. You know, there's something there. If it's not money, I don't know what it is.
You think it could be because he was really pissed with the Arvidsson trade. That really, and you know, he even was, you know, uncharacteristically vocal about it publicly.
Yeah, I mean, look, if that was the case, then you trade him before the deadline. If you know he doesn't want to be here, then trade him. And right. I think they would have. I think from everything, I believe Philip indicated he wanted to stay here. He said publicly that he wants to stay here. And I think that's why people have kind of assumed all along that the deal is probably going to get done because both sides want it, seem to want it. You know, Forsberg wanted to stay here, and the Preds didn't trade him, so I think they expected he would, and they wanted to keep him. And usually in scenarios like that, when both sides clearly want it to happen, eventually it will. And I still think this will happen, but there's something there to the point that one side's probably going to have to end up doing something they doesn't want to do.
Right.
And I think given the leverage of the current situation, it's probably the Preds that are going to end up doing that, or going to have to.
Gee, what about the general state of the Predators? I know you wrote not that long ago that maybe they don't know what direction they want to go in. We know about the eventual ownership change with Bill Haslam coming in. But, man, we just saw the Stanley Cup final, right? You saw the elite star-level players on both sides of the Stanley Cup final. You know, you throw the Edmonton Oilers in there with their two superstars, McDavid and Draisaitl. Preds have some really good players, but in my opinion, they don't have those elite level guys. So I guess my question is, would it behoove this organization to keep trying to build and chase that Stanley Cup? Or eventually, you know, they're going to have to decide whether or not to kind of pull the plug and go for the rebuild. And I think if they do that, they got to be honest with their fan base in order to do that. Where do you come out on all that?
Well, I agree with all that, but I'll push back a little bit talking about Colorado. Look, Edmonton got swept by the Avs too.
Right.
And I think when you watch Colorado, and they were clearly the best team, and I mean, if you're going to find fault with the Preds, I guess in hindsight, it's the fact that they had to play them in the first round. They they faltered there at the end of the regular season to not get to play Calgary. And if that happens and Saras is healthy, you know, if.
Right.
I think, you know, with the change in ownership, you know, we sat down and talked last week with Herb Fritch and Bill Haslam, and I didn't get any sense at any point that this is a team that would ever tear it down and rebuild, ever. And I've never really gotten that sense before this meeting. And I just feel like the Preds are a team that is very comfortable being good, having full seats at Bridgestone. I don't think they would be able to stomach a 4, 5, 6 year period where they just were terrible. Nobody cared. You know, they really got out the conscious the city's radar for sport. I just don't ever see that happening. So I think if you're in the boat of, okay, well, we're not going to rebuild, we need to win now, well, then I personally believe the team should be more aggressive then. If that's how you want to be, it's either one or the other.
Right.
And
that's kind of the point I'm making, you know what I mean, in terms of, like, elevating the skill level of the players, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And to me, it seems to be that we're talking about Philip Forsberg's re-signing as a destination for this offseason. No, it's not a destination. It's part of the journey. You want to re-sign a good player, sure. You know, you're better with Forsberg than without him. But that's not all you need to do. The Preds are sitting there with at least $23 million, maybe more, in cap space this offseason. So that allows you to do some things and to get aggressive and be bold and try to get where you need to be. And I think there should probably be more of that. You know, we heard the talk last couple of years, are they going to rebuild? Are they going to do this and that? You're trading Arvidsson and Ellis, and everybody kind of thinks it's headed that way. And I don't. I think this is a team that's still very committed to wanting to win now. And I think also when you're talking about a change in ownership, that's still 3 years away. So I don't think there's going to be any major changes in direction and how they're approaching this, at least in the next 3 years. And I think they're also going to have an interest in wanting to keep it the way it is now in terms of value, attendance, you know, merchandise, that kind of stuff. So I think they're pretty invested in wanting to be a competitive team. Now the question is, how good can you be?
Well, they've made the playoffs 8 years in a row. Only one other team has done that more.
Two. Well, two have matched. Only one.
Okay,
team's
one done more.
Yeah.
And
Pittsburgh and Washington have both made.
Well, I have two questions, and they're totally separate. One of them is going to be how this signing or non-signing of Forsberg will, large part, define David Poile's legacy, because obviously. You know, recency bias, number one. But number two, I'm going to circle back around. Why has it taken 3 years for Bill Haslam to take over control?
It's a good question. It's the way Herb first wanted it set up. Last week, I think he, honestly, I think he wanted more. And I think Haslam talked him down to three, to be honest. And I think they're leaving the door open a little bit to where, you know, maybe it's not a full 3 years. But, you know, I think to get a deal like this, and it is unique, and I think there was a lot of faith and trust on both sides to get this done. I think it was very important to Herb Fritch to find somebody who, you know, that Tennesseans knew was going to keep the team here and keep, you know, be trusted, I guess, with something that's so important to him. And I think he found that in Bill Haslam. And, you know, I don't think I don't think he has to sell right this minute, and I don't think he's particularly anxious or eager to sell. So they're just working slowly, because that's the way he wanted it set up.
Yeah, and now the David Poile question.
Well, yeah, exactly. What does this mean for his future? Yeah. Are we basically saying we have 3 years left with David Poile? Does he want to work for a new owner? There's so many questions.
Yeah, or you lose Forsberg without getting anything in return.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't – a couple of things. You don't ever want a GM in negotiations with a player thinking he's going to lose his job if it doesn't work out. That's you never want that, where an executive is – negotiating with a gun pointed at him. And I don't think that's at all the case here. So I do think the deal with Forsberg is going to get done, but Poile needs to be careful not to be in a situation where he feels as though no matter what, he's got to do everything to make sure a deal gets done. And I think it hurts the team, quite honestly, if that's a perception that's out there, because maybe that does drive up the price on the other side, knowing they have that kind of leverage. I'm not sure they do, but I get it. I understand. I think David Poile is safe for 3 years. That's the impression I got. I know there are some fans out there that probably don't want to hear that, but I think it's the case, and I think he's going to be given free reign to try to get the team back to contention, and as he has for years now.
Gentry Estes is our guest, sports columnist from the Tennessean. Quick Titans question for you, G. You know, Jeff Simmons showed up for mandatory minicamp, didn't practice. A lot of people saying maybe not a holdout, but maybe a hold in. Do you anticipate him getting a new deal before the start of training camp or the start of the season, or do you think the Titans will wait it out?
I think they'll probably wait it out. Although, I you know, you look at the situation, and I think Jeff Simmons deserves it. You know, he's certainly a key guy on the team, but it's a real advantage to have a player who is that significant and that important to your team, who you're not having to pay that much. And it's an advantage against the cap that they'll probably want to, you know, there's no reason for the Titans to go ahead and do it right now. It helps them not to. This is a reality of today's NFL with these rookie deals. That's why you're going to see the hold ins, that's how that happens, because Simmons clearly isn't getting paid what he deserves. For this team, but it doesn't do the Titans any good to make the deal right now. Thus, you have your hold in, and they're going to have to figure something out, probably to get him at practice at training camp. But I'm not sure that's going to be a new deal, at least not right now.
Well, it doesn't matter. The Colts are going to win the division anyway, like they do every year, right?
it does seem like every summer that. You know, maybe sometimes it takes longer than others, but usually by the end of the summer, the Colts are going to be favored in the AFC.
Enjoy your fourth weekend, Gentry, and we really appreciate it. And by the way, we went 15 minutes of an interview without bringing up the Titans. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's leading with Nashville SC. I'm serious, guys. I'm impressed with that.
Well, we have Drake on all the time. He's a friend of show, as are you. So we love talking Nashville SC.
Yep.
You know, they're a fun team to talk about, fun team to watch, fun team to cover.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to be in the consciousness, that's what it takes. Yeah.
No doubt.
Hey, thanks, Gentry. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, G.
Okay. Take care, y'all.
Gentry Estes. You can follow him on Twitter, as I do. He's fun. He'll dip his toe in the Twitterverse every once in a while and get down in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.